greet the Lord. Thank you, choir. Some of you have asked about my wife. No, she's not sick. She's not playing hooky. Her daughter, Rachel, wanted her to be with her in morning worship this morning at our church at Cypress. So that's where she is, and they're going to take her to lunch. And so I'm just going to have to do the best I can. But Brother Denny, since Brother Denny and I are both of us are kind of alone, we're going to have lunch together and talk about mothers. All right, turn on your Bibles to Proverbs 31. All week long, I worked on Revelation, knowing that it's Mother's Day, and still working on it. It never occurred to me that maybe I ought to preach about mothers today, since it's Mother's Day. And so when I got to the chapter, which is chapter 7, we're going through, for those of you who are guests, we're going through the book of the Revelation. Now, we hope we finish before I get through my tenure here, but if we don't, then what you're supposed to do is see wherever I leave off, that's where you're supposed to pick up and go on. And so I feel like I've given you enough instruction now in Revelation for you to pick up and go on when I'm done here. So turn in that Bible to 27, the 7th chapter of Revelation. The title of that is The Interlude. Well, we're going to have our interlude, and we're going to talk about the ideal mother, and certainly this takes, you've seen it many times, but you never can exhaust the text. I've been preaching God's Word a little over 40 years now, and I have never come to the point where there's not something to say new and fresh in God's Word, even though there may be a chapter that I've preached several times before. I've kept every sermon that I ever preached, including the first one that I preached. Oh, deliver me. But I've kept them at the memento, and every now and then I go back and look over them and, as a way of staying humble. But I've kept all of them, so I can assure you there's no way that you can exhaust the text. There'll always be something new to read about. But I want to direct your attention to the Proverbs, and especially chapter 31. It's interesting about the book of the Proverbs. It's a father giving advice to his son. And it begins, of course, in the first chapter with the king telling his son, this is how the life that you ought to live, how you can be successful in living. And if you know anything at all about Proverbs, you know that it talks about such things as being diligent. You know, the sluggard doesn't get things done. The ant will gather up food for the winter so that he'll have something to carry him over to the next season, and the sluggard won't, and on. It talks about what kind of life you're to live, that you're not to be somebody who takes unfair advantage of folks. And so the whole 30 chapters has to do with how to live the good life and what God would expect a young man to build the foundation of his life upon. And then when it comes to chapter 31, he gives us an example in the case of King Lemuel, and says this is what King Lemuel's mother taught him. And so in essence, the 30 chapters that we see in here are to instruct us on how to and how we ought to live. And then chapter 31 tells us, guys, how we can be successful in doing that. And the key to it is a wonderful wife and mother. And I must say that my wife, both of them, my first wife and I were married 42 years. When she passed away, and then since that time, Donna and I have been married a little over 10, and I can say in both cases that both of them have been great for me. They've been supportive of my work and my ministry. My first wife didn't start out as a preacher's wife. We picked that up along the way after we'd been married for a number of years, and God called me to preach, and And I left the banking business, which had a lot more monetary possibilities than preaching did, and came here to preach, and been doing it ever since, and have not regretted doing it in all these years. And that took place in 1976. And I went off to seminary, and it was one of the three greatest years of my life. And I commend all of you, the cooperative program money that you gave this morning in your tithe, a portion of that goes to our seven seminaries. Guys like me probably would have not been able to go to seminary had you not subsidized us through your giving through the cooperative program. So I want to commend you. There are seven altogether. The one I went to was the New Orleans Seminary down at New Orleans. So it's been a great thing for me, and I praise God for that. But you are following your Bible as I pick up verse 10 of chapter 31, which talks about the ideal wife and the ideal mother. It is a high standard. Now, is there anyone who reaches that standard? Well, there may be, but it won't take you long to call the roll of those who are in that special club, as Bum Phillips talked about Earl Campbell. And he said he may not have been the best running back in the world, but it didn't take long to call the roll of the club that he was part of. And so this is the ideal mother, but most people are not going to acquire the ideal, but that's what you shoot at. When I was a young boy in school, I thought more about basketball and hunting and things of that nature than I did school. And my greatest aspiration, you know, on the academic level was to acquire a C. That was passing. But I've since learned that that's not my target. My target is an A, and I might end up with a B. And oftentimes I did. Occasionally I'd end up with an A. But we want to ascribe to the highest level. And that's what God's word is, to hold up the standard high. And the Bible that you have is the manual for living. Now, when you buy a new appliance, they're going to give you a manual on how to operate that. Now, it won't be one like we used to get, about 25 pages in a little brochure. You're going to have to get on the internet to find it. But in any event, there's a manual that says this is how this item works, and this is how it works best. And it'll tell you about the warnings and things that you're supposed to do and not do. The same way with the life you and I have. When God saved us, he gave us a manual. And he said, if you'll follow this manual, you'll have a successful life. Just do it step by step and ascribe to the high standard. So moms, girls, anybody in between, listen, this is the standard for which you want to aspire to. In fact, the standard for all of us. So pick up verse 10. Follow me in your Bible as I read from the New American Standard. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She works for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises up also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her and to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the staff, and her hands grasp a spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. I want to stop right here and say to us guys, we don't do this enough. The challenge is for you and I to brag on our wives and our mothers from time to time. There's nothing better than to encourage somebody by bragging on them and appreciating the work that they do, not so much the work they don't do. And so the challenge goes to you and I as men. We're always busy doing something else, but always make known the fact that she is a blessing to you. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. We pray your blessings, Lord, on this word, that we might read and understand it. Lord, that we might proclaim its truths, and most importantly, that we might not make them a part of our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one that's here as we receive the message, whether mother or father or man or woman, that we might ascribe to the very best that you've given to us. It's our prayer in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Let's look at the text a little bit more in depth than we looked at here as we simply read it. We want to talk about the fact that mothers and the value that they have for you and I. We want to talk about the contributions that they make, the involvement that part of their lives, and of course, the answer to they have that they have to world's dilemma. First of all, the ideal mother is one whose top priority is the family. Now, there are a lot of things that we're involved in doing in our life. We go to work, and we have responsibilities there, and we have responsibilities among our neighbors and that sort of thing. But the number one responsibility that you and I have is to our families. Now, that applies not just to the mothers, but also applies to us guys, too. The chief responsibility we have is the family. God, from the very beginning, ordained the family. He said, not good that man should live alone, but that he might have somebody to make him complete. And that someone he created as woman. And then he says, go out and replenish the earth and subdue it. And that's what our responsibility is. And so what's happened here is that God has, from the very beginning, ordained the family. And that's the way God operates in this world. We don't operate as individuals. Now, we have individual responsibility within the context of the operation, but our responsibility is that we operate in concert with each other. That's what the church is all about. It's a fellowship of folks that are gathered there with mutual responsibility that we have and then individual gifts that we have in order to carry them out. First thing he talks about as he opens up that verses 10 through 13, he talks about her value. What is her value? They've even calculated in today's money what this woman would be worth to a family if she carried out all the things that we talked about here. Obviously, this lady has responsibility at home, but she also knows that she's a businesswoman. Says that not only does she take care to make sure that her family, and you notice her responsibility to her family was first, and then to the business organization, that came later. It's always the family first before anything else is involved. Because, see, without the family, we really don't have anything. There's no mandate from God if there's not a family. Now, you may be a family of one in the sense of being in the fellowship of the Lord, but you also may be in a fellowship of a family where there are a number of people that are involved. And some of you are old enough where if your family reports to get together, they're going to have to use a wide lens, amen? When they take your picture, you're not going to do it with a little telephone. They're going to have to come out here with a wide-angle lens in order to get all of them in there. And hey, I praise God for that. My family is not quite as large as that. But some of your families are that large. And some of you have been blessed to the point that you've even seen your great-great-grandchildren and all of that. All because of two people got together because they loved one another, mutually respected each other, and carried on the duties and responsibilities they have. But in today's term, if you would take all of these contributions that she makes to a family, what would be the value of that on an annual basis? The number is somewhere around $650,000 to $700,000 a year. Whoa, and you thought you were getting paid well. You thought you were getting paid what? $650,000 to $700,000 a year is the kind of contribution this dear lady is making. Notice in here that it says that she bought a field. And when that field began to produce, she took the money from the field that she produced, and she didn't spend that money. She put it into a vineyard, which is valuable even more. So she's a progressive lady. And her value, the answer to it is, in everything is said and done, he says, what is her value? The answer is, it's inestimable. You can't really calculate it, the contribution she's made. Now listen, moms that are here, you think of the contribution that you've made to have the sort of family that you have today, and the numbers that you have. There has been a lot of work involved on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis. And much of those has been because you've prayed for your family. Because you realized that there were certain things that you could not do and accomplish. Even though you wanted to, you didn't have the wherewithal to do it. Because you didn't know the answer. You didn't know what, I mean, there are a lot of different choices you could make, and we want to make the right choice. Now, we may be in well-intentioned in making a choice that may be bad. That's not what we want to do. We want to make a choice that's well. So in order to be able to do that, there's going to have to be something outside of ourselves that's going to come into our life to enable us to do those things that we normally could not do on our own. And the only way that can be done is through prayer. So he says a trade race. Her husband reckoned. And I think the big thing in here is all the way through this particular group of verses, you see that the husband appreciates that. He sees the value for him. I'll tell you what. My wives, both of them, my first wife that's now deceased, and Donna, have made me look good over the years. Amen. Now, some of us need all the help we can get in that regard. Because we're not all that charming at times. Amen. I mean, even today, you know, I wonder sometimes, well, I pop off some of the things that I do, and yet they always seem to bring me down to where I need to be. Hold them up to higher levels, but also be ready to say, look, there's some improvement that needs to be done. He says that she makes me look good in the gates. She enhances my job. Now, when the Bible talks about the gates, you understand what they're talking about. These are men of high standing, elders. They've been around a while. They have a successful family. They're part of the elders who actually run the city or the state or whatever group that we're talking about. These are respected men. And she makes sure that he looks like he's being a respectable man by the way he dresses. Let me say this. It was true when I was growing up. I don't remember who told me this, but clothes make the man. Y'all ever heard that? Clothes make the man. First impressions are lasting impressions. Ladies, make sure we look good when we leave the house. Amen? I mean, that's what it boils down to. I didn't say the value of them, you know. You don't have to wear Armani suits. I mean, if you got the money to buy them, hey, I'm all for it. I drive a Honda Ridgeline. If I had the money, I'd probably drive something like a Maserati or... Amen? Nothing wrong with that. Abraham was a rich man, and we got case after case. That Solomon obviously was rich. Anybody take care of 700 wives got to be rich. Amen? Even today, a person who follows the Muslim tradition can marry up to four times. But in order for him to be able to marry up to four times, he's got to be able to prove he can support all four of those women. Sometimes that's pretty tough. And it cut down the group of well, y'all, some of y'all go through it, you know. But I'm not knocking the fact that there's a value to it. But men look good when you leave the house, especially if you have responsibility and the workplace or wherever you go. You don't have to wear the most expensive. There is a law, and I learned in economics, the law of diminishing utility, which means you can only build so much quality into a product. And when you try to build any more than that, that's frivolous and expensive. And so we want to look good. She enables us to do that. Not only by the way we dress, but the attitude that we have as we go out into the workaday world. Now, somebody say, well, I'm retired. Yeah, but a lot of you do more work and better work today that you're retired than you ever did while you were working. Amen? And I wonder sometimes, I'm so-called retired. I don't know what that means for a preacher. I'll figure it out maybe one day. But I don't know what that is. Because I stay busier now than I did before retirement. Some of you guys have told me the same thing about your life. I don't know where the day goes. It's gone. And, you know, because there's so many responsibilities. Listen, because you retired, that don't mean you quit. That means you just kind of change directions a little bit. Pull back a little. Because the energy that you have now is not the energy you had as a 40-year-old. I mean, I hope it is, but in my case, it's not. I sometimes think I look better in the mirror than I do actually inside because of things that begin to wear out after a while. So a wife has a tremendous amount of value to us, an attraction to joy. Implication is that you and I can't find a woman, men, like that. Only God can give it to us. But what King Solomon was saying and what King Lemuel is saying, as his mother taught him, is you look for a great wife. Who can find one? You can't do it on your own. You just have to trust in the Lord. But listen, you and I, man or woman, set the standard for our life. Now, if you want to live just at the lowest standard, then you pick that standard up. But just remember this. Who you hang around with will determine your success in life. People who hang around with losers are losers. People who hang around with successful people are successful. That's just the way it is. Now, that may not be politically correct in your ears, but I'm sorry, but reality is what we're interested in, not let's pretend. So her value. Notice in verses 14 through 27, it talks about her involvement. There's anything that says highly for this lady is her involvement. And I am absolutely amazed at some of you ladies that you can carry on a successful career and working, maybe it's in teaching or nursing or some other profession that you're involved in doing, and still at the same time have your responsibility number one paramount in the family and still be successful. What the psalmist is saying to us and what King Lemuel's mama taught him was that it can be done, but you got to have a plan in order to do that. And the plan is the high standard that you can aspire to. You want to be the best of the best. I'll always love Hallmark cards. Now, a little aside comment. I have decided from now on I'm not giving gifts anymore. I'm just going to give cards, because they cost as much as a gift today. Amen. I went down, I bought my mama a card. That card was $8 for a card. I wonder how many of those cards that they made up on that printing press that have gone out through the United States and probably the world, millions of them. $8 I paid for that card. But they do convey, and my mama does love cards. I mean, you know, most of the kids, when you give them a gift and you give them a little card, the card just, and they'll unwrap my great-granddaughter had a birthday yesterday, and we went over to celebrate that birthday. And I put a nice little card. Her card cost $7. I put it in an envelope, put a nice little message on there. God knows who read that, but it wasn't her. But I did anyway because I just wanted to be full. And I gave her the gift. And she didn't read the card. She went for the gift. But mama reads the card and gets her the gift. But she loved the card. I like what Hallmark says. Always have. You care enough to send the very best. And I like that phrase. But you know, not only is that true in cards, but you can apply that to every aspect of your life. You cared enough to do the very best. And that's what we challenge you today. Whether you're a mom, or whether you're a father, or whether you're a lady, or whether you're a man, ascribe to the very best. This lady was involved, and she was involved at home. The distaff they talked about, that's the spinning wheel that she set up nights spinning the clothes. Because it wasn't going down to Walmart to buy a suit or over to Dillard's or whatever. You just made it there at home or you didn't have it. And she was diligent. You see it in here that her family was dressed in scarlet? That doesn't mean everybody in the family wore red. What that's saying is they wore the best. Scarlet is another way, a symbolic word of saying the best. And it's used all the way through the Bible. And it always has that application. Scarlet was the best because, you see, they didn't have the dyes that you and I have today. Most of the clothes that they wore were browns and maybe some grays and some blacks because they didn't have the dyes that you and I have today to really dress them up. But whatever they did have, she was the best. And, Mom, I challenge you. Whatever you do for your family, let it be the very, very best. Because your family deserves it, you deserve it, and God is always blessed because of a good testimony by one of the saints of His. So involvement. And so qualities, and it lists a number of those. But notice in here, it says in verse 13 that she delights in her family. She does it because it's not a drudgery for her. She just likes doing it. Because that's the kind of person she is. She takes the initiative. She doesn't wait till the last minute. Some of us are kind of bad about procrastinating, aren't we? That's a nice word of saying, wait too long before you do something. Well, we're kind of bad about that. That's not a virtue. That's a failure. It says that this lady delights. She enjoys doing it. And so she initiates a plan. She takes the initiative. She doesn't wait for the circumstances to take the initiative for her. She takes the initiative over the circumstance so the result of what she comes out with is the very best. Now, when I say the very best, I'm not saying it has to be something in opulent splendor. I'm not talking about that at all, and I don't think the text is talking about that. What it's talking about is in the world in which you move in, you want to have the highest standard. Now, you may not move in a really, really big, swanky world, and that's okay. But you see, you got to have a plan. And this lady did the plan because you don't get things done like she did without having a plan. So plan. Take the initiative. You don't wait for the circumstances to take charge. You take charge of the circumstances. She delights in seeing them look good. I think that when he wore the clothes that he put on to go down to the gates, and the gates was the center of government. The elders gathered at the gates, and the gate is what we would call today the courthouse, our city hall, in which they met and they debated different things. People who had grievances would come, and one of the elders would take them off to a little nook. If you'll notice, and you read in the books, you notice that the gate was not just, when they opened the gates, the access to the city was not a straight line. You had to walk over this nook, back over here, back over there, back over here, back over. Why'd they do that? Well, it's kind of hard for an infantryman or a warrior or a soldier or something to come through there real quick when you got all them little niches you got to cross through. And so in those little niches, when they weren't used in combat, they were used as little places where they sat down and decided grievances and made decisions and that sort of thing. And she encouraged him so well that he was wise in the gates and he made proper decisions. And the result was that he was respected. Why? Because of the way she treated him. Lady, lift them up. They may not look like much and they may not be much, but you can make them a whole lot more than they are by your encouragement and your love. That is a fact. Then last thing, we've seen her value, we've seen the involvement that she's involved in doing, having a day job, having a night job, having a family job. And then look at the last one, her answer, her testimony. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her, and her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. I tell you one thing. There are a lot of things that I'm ignorant about, but one thing is I know a good thing when I see it. Amen? I know a good thing when I see it, and I want to keep it coming. So I know you got to stoke the fire every now and then to get a good flame. And guys, it don't hurt to stoke that fire from time to time in order to make the flame even better. And so he says, I will lift her up, buddy. I'll tell her how much I appreciate. She's the one that makes me look good and encourages my success. You see, you wouldn't have been given her. God wouldn't have ordained that man should not live alone if he didn't see that you needed her. Oh, you're needed. And let me say this in closing this. Some of you may not know this. I know all of you do because of your age. And so many of you have been married over 50 years. How many in here have been were married? I mean, you may be widowed now. But when you were married, you've been married over 50 years. Raise your hand. Look at that. All over the auditorium. 50 years. You see, it does work. It can work. Let me just say this in closing. Divorce is a very poor investment. When I was in banking business, I was in investments too, you know. I mean, that's part of the work of being invested. And I determined from the looks of what I know of, a divorce that does take place. Nobody benefits from a divorce. You may think you do, but the reality is that the second marriage will end faster than the first marriage. And the more you marry, the shorter the duration of the marriage becomes. You know why? Because you've seen it as an option. The reason why I was able to be married as long as I was, as long as I am, is because it's never been an option for me. I mean, I'll try anything before I do that. Why? Because it's just a bad investment for me. It makes me look bad, and it costs me more money than it ought to. And I can support a wife better than I can a wife that's separated. Amen? I can count, you know, one household cheaper than having to keep up two. It's a bad investment. Take it off the agenda if it is a possibility, because you don't need it, and God's not honored by it. So her answer, her testimony, verse 29. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Here's the key. She fears the Lord. What's her motivation? She fears the Lord. Now, when we, in Bible terms, use the word fear, that doesn't mean you're scared of something. You know. It means you reverence it. You hold it in awe. When we stand before the throne, we've seen in the Revelation account, the thing that we see on the part of the participants always is a sense of fear. But it's not the kind of fear that makes you afraid. It's the kind of fear that says, ah, a sense of awe. So what she does not because her husband deserves it, not because her children deserve it, or she deserves it down the road. It's because God deserves it. She reverenced the Lord, and the standard of her life is the life of Christ. That's how people are successful. That's how people are happy. That's how people can live together. And if we could spend the afternoon, this afternoon, talking about the things that have happened in your life that are difficult in marriage, we wouldn't finish before it got to be dark. Every one of us have had it. But you fear the Lord, and you do it because of Jesus' sake, and you'll be successful all the time. Let's pray together. Father, how thankful we are for your word. How thankful we are, Lord, to be challenged by that word, that there is a good life, a better life, and the higher standard that we have, the greater success we'll enjoy. We bless you, Lord, and thank you. Now, Lord, there may be someone here that needs to make a decision. There may be somebody that you've been working on about receiving Christ as Savior. And, Lord, I pray that this day will be the day that they will become the happiest person on the planet. Lord Jesus, other decisions perhaps. But in any event, Lord, whatever you call your people to do, I pray that we might do it. In Jesus' name, amen.